You're listening to a Hindustan Times podcast brought to you by HT Smartcast.
What, according to you, then is the biggest issue? You're saying it's anti-communalism.
I'm saying it is unemployment, it is price rise, it is international border security. And to top it all, I think every single person realizes that BJP has damaged two things in this country. One is unity, and the second thing is civil liberty.
So the men don't get affected.
Exactly. So you have played into the hands of that argument that men use, that why should we give up our seats for more women? You know, bahut hui mehengai ki maar ab ki baar Modi sarkar. Look where the price of fuel and the price of gas is. Look what they did to CAA. Look at NRC. So they pick those issues, they use it in an election, and then they just put it in the back burner. So what has Mamata Banerjee done with her vote catching ability is she has used that to propel women into politics. Yeah. I think the game is on.
Game is on.
Yeah, the game is on, and the battle has started. The war will be in 24.
Welcome to this edition of First Voice Last Word, where in this season we are counting down to the big 2024 elections. Now, in this series of conversations, we've been getting major newsmakers that give us an insight into politics and what are the issues for the next big general elections. Today, my guest is Sushmita Dev, who is from the Trinamool Congress. She has been an MP and she's also been with the Congress party. So she is, in some ways, she has insight on two big parties. And that's why I'm really looking forward to this conversation today. Sushmita, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Sunetra. Lovely to be here.
You know, Sushmita, one of the reasons why I wanted to have a woman politician very soon in this conversation is because we've just seen the passage of the Women Reservation Bill and become law. I know that the opposition has had various issues, but in the end, we saw, especially in Rajya Sabha, which you were a part of, it, you know, unanimously being passed. Are you feeling empowered as a woman?
There is no doubt that the bill has been passed. Mm. So it's crossed one hurdle, that is inside parliament. And this was a big hurdle in the past. One can't deny that if I were to look at it objectively. But I think where I am disappointed is it is conditional on delimitation, which is itself very controversial, as you know, the South versus North debate, the population growth debate. So such an important political and social reform, which India has been waiting, considering that women are almost 50% of the population and they are voting in larger numbers, to actually wait for their political emancipation and make it conditional on something that may never happen. I think
will
that's
it never happen.
Yeah, I mean, whether it was the Indira Gandhi ji's government, whether it was Bajpayee ji's government, as you know, they all delayed the delimitation. So the Constitution of India itself says that there cannot be a delimitation till a census takes place after 2026. So if you ask me, I think I may be in my 60s by the time this comes, but that doesn't matter. But if I felt that it would happen, even if I may not have the age to contest, I would have still been happy. But whatever I understand about delimitation and the history of delimitation, one cannot say for sure whether it will happen even after 26. So I think since we had to have a government with a majority, they could have taken a quantum leap and not made it conditional on anything. That would have been a real paradigm shift and a very strong message would have gone. So right now you will see that although it will be said in the elections, oh, we've passed the Women's Reservation Bill, we've passed the Women's Reservation Bill, in effect, it may turn into a jumla, and that's my fear. And I don't say it because I have any vested interest. As a policymaker, I understand that the condition precedent of delimitation actually defeats the purpose. And time will tell you that I'm right.
But I guess all's well that ends well, right? And
that's, I agree with you. That's why I'm saying this may not end well. If I felt it ended well, I would have applauded it. No harm. Doesn't matter which government brings it. But you will see, Sunetra, I hope that after 5 years we are on this show again, and you will see that it's not going to be easy
to
implement.
Well, it's quite clear.
It.
I think Hindustan Times also written, it's not happening before, you know, 2029 for sure.
See, I'll tell you the logic.
Right.
You know, because I want your listeners and viewers to understand this. After delimitation, the seats in Lok Sabha will go up and assemblies
right.
will go up, right? Because it has to reflect the population.
Especially in the north,
yeah,
which has
assuming that delimitation happened.
Right.
So what is NDA government is saying that we will give women seats inside Lok Sabha and assembly after we increase the seats.
So the men don't get affected.
Exactly. So you have played into the hands of that argument that men use that why should we give up our seats for more women? What would have been absolutely historical was to say out of these 545 seats or whatever seats in the assembly, at this point, there's nothing stopping us from giving 33% to women. That would have been a real, real change, and it would have been something that the opposition couldn't have said anything. But the sad part is that it's a half-baked cake. So there is a cake, but it's half-baked. That's
yeah,
the sad
like
part.
It's too long a wait, right? And tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, but as a political observer, I don't think, do you think that women voters are saying, अरे हम में से बहुत लोगों को हम लोग कॉन्टेस्ट कर पाएंगे ज्यादा आसानी से टिकट मिलेगा इसलिए हम उस पार्टी को ज्यादा I don't know, is this a vote getter? They are saying they're not doing it for votes. But I wonder, do you think this is a vote getter?
See, to a lot of women, it does matter. Hmm. It may not matter to every woman in the country because not everyone is aspiring to enter the, you know, political arena.
Yeah.
But I feel that BJP is good at one thing, which is propaganda. False or otherwise. So the thing is, you will see, I mean, I have no doubts about it, that Prime Minister Modi and his star campaigners will say, we passed this bill, which the UPA could not, etc. All that will be used. I mean, we've seen it happen. You know, bahut hui mehengai ki maar, ab ki baar Modi sarkar, look where the price of fuel and the price of gas is. So I think they know, look what they did to CAA. It was such a big thing. Entire country went into turmoil. Some people were saying it should happen. Some people were saying it's unconstitutional. What came out of it? Nothing. Zero. It's neither here nor there. Look at NRC. Such a big issue, NRC in Assam.
Yeah.
Till today, nobody knows what happened. So they pick those issues, they use it in an election, and then they just put it, you know, in the back burner. And I've just given you three examples, and that's what's going to happen to the reservation bill.
Coming back to this whole women reservation thing, Sushmita Dev, I want you, you've been a member of Rajya Sabha, you've been a member of Lok Sabha. For, you know, I speak to all of you women politicians. It's one of these things that I really want to get insight on. There are only 14% of women right now. It's the highest it's ever been. Shocking, really. But I want you to tell me what it's like. What it's like to be such a minority in politics with examples.
See, for example, I'll tell you something. Just because we had Mrs. Indira Gandhi as the Prime Minister, just because we've had a woman president, doesn't mean that every woman who's doing politics in any party is also empowered. What actually empowers a woman inside a party is the way the systems work. Now, let me give an example. Mamata Banerjee is the biggest brand in Bengal. So, like when I ask my house help, किसको वोट दिया? I have a home in Calcutta. He says, दीदी को वोट दिया. So I said, who's your candidate? So he says, मैंने तो ममता दीदी को वोट दिया. So what has Mamata Banerjee done with her vote catching ability is she has used that to propel women into politics. Where candidate, of course, the character of the candidate and the stature, the image of the candidate matters. But she has used it within her party to throw more women into politics from different walks of life. They're social activists, they're actresses, whatever. So she has enabled the system to throw up more women. Now, if we come to, let's say, the Indian National Congress, I'm just saying, it's not like you don't have women growing inside the Congress party. But what is the challenge? The challenge within the parties is that when there's no capacity building of women. Like when I ran the women's organization for the Congress, I used to keep saying that through the Panchayati Raj system, women have proved that given an opportunity, they can work as policymakers. They're good at governance. In fact, they bring a lot of different things to the table. But I think what parties can do is what Mamata Banerjee has done, and I believe BJD has also done, is you make give a quota inside the party.
Mm.
If you can give it in the CWC, if you can give it in, I don't know, the other committees or bodies, there is no reason why you can't give it during elections. See, that's the rule inside Congress.
Because in Trinamool Congress, just to tell those who may not know, you have more than 33%,
right? Yeah, we have 40% women.
In Parliament.
Yes, and
in other bodies.
They may win, they may lose, but they have given women that opportunity to stand. So there is actually nothing stopping the BJP or any other party to give women that quota. Start by saying inside the party 15%, if not 33%.
Mm.
What I'm saying is, it is also the reason why women have not come into parliament and assemblies, also the inability of the parties within the party to enable women to come up to
elections.
You
mean give tickets? They should give tickets.
Yes, of course.
No, but tell me, isn't it really difficult, Sushmita, that being a politician, right? I mean, there's no manual. There's no daycare. There's no, it's weird. There's men everywhere.
You know, more than daycare and toilets and having a vending machine for sanitary towels, those things are easy to do for, any party can do it for women in their party. But it's the typecast that you have to fight.
Which is?
Which is that there are various examples at state level, district level, block level, where women leaders have come up. You can take me or anybody else as an example. But there is a plethora of examples saying we don't have to give them importance because they're women. Women have to fight to sit on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it's so male dominated that they all go and sit and nobody thinks. So, and you see.
So how do you fight? Like you have to say that.
It can be very humiliating, I'll tell you. And I always tell women who want to come into politics that grow a thick skin.
Hmm.
You have to fight for your position. You have to fight for your place. For instance, I used to go for certain meetings. I don't want to name the state when I was the Mahila Congress. And I was on stage because I'm the national president. But the people who had worked for that meeting are sitting.
All the men are on stage.
And all the men are stage. So I used to say, I should not say bring them on stage. So I'll say I'll sit with my team and I have to go off the stage. And then all the ministers say, no, please bring so-and-so on stage. Please bring so-and-so on stage. And I think after that, it became a rule within the party that they have to be 50% women leaders on every stage when I was there.
No.
Yeah. And I have
even
to...
Even for the stage seating, there's a quota.
Yeah. It happens. It happens. And let me tell you, I do not blame the high command of the party because they don't micromanage these things.
It's just general mindset.
No, but I want to say something that when I went into Trinamool Congress, it is a totally women-led party.
Well, the boss is a woman.
Yeah, boss is a woman. There are many parties who have women bosses. But Mamata Banerjee puts women in the forefront. That's her USP. Mm-hmm. She's known for that, whether it is Andolan, whether it's a program, whether it's nominations, whether it's a cultural program. It's the first thing that strikes you.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that strikes you in that party, that the entire USP. And that's why Mamata Banerjee, if you look at the data, she is a huge... She's a huge vote catcher for the women voters of Bengal.
Yeah.
Most of her schemes, you know, Konyashri, Lokhir Bhandar,
yes,
Shobuj Shathi, everything is geared towards women. Like
all the male leaders are doing that as well. Nitish Kumar and others also do that.
Let me give you an example. The Assam chief minister is busy, you know, flexing his muscles saying, I've arrested so many people for child marriage. I've arrested so many people who have done child marriage. Mamata Banerjee is mitigating child marriage and increasing the number of women in higher education through enabling schemes.
Hmm.
So when a law is made, of course it acts as a deterrent. But if you want, really want the social reform, you have to make a change where it matters. Like giving a girl a cycle so she's not uncomfortable riding the going to school. Giving a girl money for higher education so she doesn't want to get married. She wants to go for higher education.
Yeah. And I guess that, do you think that because of Mamata Banerjee, all the Trinamool women are also feistier? Like, you know,
they... Absolutely. I think...
You know,
I
like, for example, your colleague, Mahua, she called because someone attacked her and they were... So she used the word... I don't know if we are going to bleep this out, but harami, right? And was caught on. And the thing is that obviously she felt very strongly. And, you know, this is obviously there is a huge culture and there's a conversation across the world about women owning up. And why should women be polite? You know, if they're being attacked, it's okay for them to cuss, right? And there was, this became a huge thing in parliament and all of that. And I see it became being a whole, this whole street fighter thing. There's a huge pushback about women, right?
It's like when you look at Mohua, when you look at Dola Sen, when you look at Kakuli Dastidar, I mean, yeah, they're all like, they're all the time geared and ready for a fight.
Yeah.
Because they know that's the DNA of their party. See, Trinamool is a party of resilience. Look at Mamata Banerjee's history. I mean, you're soon going to talk about India partners, I'm sure. But there is not a single bone in her body which the left has not broken.
Yeah, true.
In her years of struggle. When I went to Tripura and they attacked me, and, you know, I called Abhishek to say, Abhishek, you know, I think I've broken my little finger. They've beaten us black and blue. He was not, he didn't ask me to play victim. He says, I'm sending two ministers to Tripura. Get ready. Tomorrow we're going to ghera out the police. So it's in their DNA. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're talking about cuss words. Go to any paan ki dukan, or go walk on the streets or on the metros of Delhi, hear any two Hindi-speaking male talking, every second word is a cuss abusing word. A sister, yeah, or mother. I don't want to use those, yeah, unparliamentary words.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So I one mean, has to kind of, yeah, it's part of owning the space, right, Sushma?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I hear men abusing in normal parlance and they generally directed at sisters. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to use,
yeah,
that word.
Yeah.
So if Mahua said one word, because she was angry.
Yeah.
I don't think you should judge her for that.
No, so I'm not judging at all.
Yeah.
But Sushmita, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned Mamata Banerjee is a boss. You've been lucky. Not many women are that lucky that as a woman politician, you've had two women bosses. You had Sushmita, yeah, I beg your pardon, you had Sonia Gandhi as your boss, and then you had Mamata Banerjee as well. How are the two working styles?
See, any two leaders have different styles of working. No two leader can be identical. But I'll tell you that both women are fearless. And you know what the BJP doesn't understand about leaders like Mamata Di and Sonia Ji is that the harder you push them, the stronger they become. To think that they would back down is the biggest mistake Narendra Modi Ji is making. You know, so they are both very resilient. And I have to say that they are both like mother figures in the party. You know, like I'll give you an input.
Hmm.
Like, you want to know how the party works from inside. You look at any administrative meeting of Mamata Di, she's always scolding people. So someone who's from outside Bengal.
I remember when she was saying to him that, oh my God, how is your stomach so big?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, ma'am. No, Didi, I do yoga. And she's like, yoga? What yoga do you do? Look at your big belly. You know, so yeah, I get it.
I mean,
yeah,
there are those videos of Mamata Di where she's constantly scolding people. So when people from outside Bengal see it, they don't understand. They'll, yeah, say, what kind of a chief minister? But that's the way she is. She's a mother figure. Everybody calls her Didi,
yeah,
kind of a thing. And similarly, Sonia Ji. So Sonia Ji is also like, you know, she may not have a position in the Congress. She may be the UPA. Now there's no UPA also. But you know what I mean? It's like, she's like the guardian for everybody. So there are those similarities. And I think both are fighters.
Yeah.
And I think Modi Ji is underestimating both. That's
okay.
What I think.
You know, I thought I would ask you this later, but this just fits in. I was reading this, she's an American author, and she has done this whole study of women in politics in India. And she said that while everyone, you know, looks at nepotism and looks at dynasty as a bad thing, but that's the only way that a lot of women in India have found space, because they said that who else? It's so intimidating for outside women to come into a ganda place like politics. Like, you know, you ask all my team members and stuff and they'll all be like, oh my God, that looks horrible. Nobody from a nice college and who studied and wants to become a politician, right? The only, so they heard this academics theory was that yes, while it has negative connotations now, but it was through dynastic politics that women have found space. And the high, and she quoted the large numbers of families that have enabled women to come in. You know, you are there, you're Santosh Mohandev's daughter.
Right.
There's Supriya Sule. And they're the Munde sisters.
Kanimori.
So we are saying, thank God, we have some women. And that's because of dynastic politics.
Yes. Coming from a political family, politics is not alien to you. But if you take any other ordinary family which has had absolutely no experience in politics, there's the fear of the unknown. And let's face it, if an ordinary person who's not in politics opens the television, they think politics mein to ya corruption hai, ya violence hai.
And you know, you went to St. Stephen's College, right?
Miranda.
You went to Miranda. Did other classmates want to become, or were they going into politics? Are any of them in politics?
You see, student politics is actually the right place for women to be groomed. And I remember that that time, you know, it was to be ABVP versus NSUI. NSUI is to always give, always, now Aam Aadmi Party is also there. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah.
But I think what they always do is they always give women candidates, because I started my politics from DUSU elections.
Wow.
So that's the best grooming place for activism, for politics. And I quite agree with this theory that we may look down on dynastic politics, but the fact is that has also facilitated more and more women into politics. There's no doubt about it.
But what do you make of the fact that Modi ji says that dynastic politics is one of three evils in the country? That's what he said on 15th August when he talks to people. And I think a lot of people buy that, Sushmita Dev, that, you know, he says this is what's eating into our resources.
You see, Modi ji should realize that there is absolutely no legal bar. Is there any disqualification to say if my father is a politician, I can't enter into politics? But I am winning an election and coming. Mm-hmm. Modi ji only says that because he's single. He doesn't have any sons and daughters. But to stop another politician's son and daughter who wants to serve the nation through politics, I don't think it should be treated as an evil. It is just a narrative he's trying to build against the opposition. There is a Anurag Thakur, there is a Munde, and there is Rajnath Singh's son. They are all children of politicians. So I think that argument of his is not going to work. And who's he to give us a certificate? People are voting for us. They know whose daughter I am. They know who's, you know, Abhishek Banerjee's father and mother and aunt. They know who's Gaurav Gogoi's father. So who is Modi ji to give us a certificate? If people decide that I've unfairly come into politics because of nepotism, there are enough children who lose, Sunetra.
Yeah, that's
there
true.
There are enough children who lose elections because people don't think they're capable. Sushmita,
there's a little advantage because people...
Of course.
You know, your father was a legend. I'm from Northeast and I know what a legend your father was. So, Sushmita, if you contested and I tried to get a ticket, obviously you would have an advantage over me.
Absolutely. I don't deny that at all, that if you come from a political family, you have a head start from the others. Somebody who has no political background has to start from ground zero. There's absolutely no two ways about that. But that can't disqualify me from coming into politics. But I think what should happen is, if a Santosh Mohandev can help Sushmita Dev win, if a Mamata Di can help Abhishek Banerjee come up, if Sonia Ji can help Priyanka Ji and Rahul Ji to come up, they should similarly put that same force behind other women and other youngsters who are coming from ground zero. Don't they?
I don't know.
I mean, let's...
People do become a little, like, you know, sentimental about their own children, right? They do.
Of course. See, you may become sentimental about your own children. That doesn't guarantee your children will succeed, Sunetra. That doesn't mean your children... Has it been easy for Abhishek or has it been easy for Rahulji to come up? Has Akhilesh Yadav not struggled to come where he is? Has Jayant Chaudhary, who's Ajit Singh's son, has just overnight become a leader? Have they not lost elections? Come on, there's a struggle in everyone's story. Let's not undermine that.
True. I have to ask you because obviously, as a political journalist, what I noticed was first when the opposition alliance name India came up, first they said I dot N dot D dot, first they said, you know, the BJP said that. And they started saying India Alliance. And they're going on changing that. So obviously the name seems to have, and you know, there was this whole talk about changing India's name, going back to Bharat. Who came up with it? Whose idea was this?
See, Sunetra, I was not in that meeting, so I'm not privy to... I know in the social media, somebody was saying Rahulji, somebody was saying
Mamata Banerjee. Yeah.
But I think what the India partners have managed to do is strike the imagination of the people and rattle the BJP. So it helps us that the BJP's put the dots and now trying to change the name. You know, and I've noticed in social media, on a lighter note, you know, the pro-alliance people have started referring to BJP as a BJ party. You must have seen that BJ party.
I saw that,
So I think the game is on.
Game is on.
Yeah, the game is on and the battle is started. The war will be in 24. And I think we are getting battle ready and these are all the signs.
For journalists, it's a great story because, you know, you know this is what we want. We don't know which way it's going to go and it's like, you know, and I remember my conversations with you a couple of years ago, right? Where things looked kind of, not for Trinamool Congress, but for Congress, it looked really bleak. And now they seem to be, you know, the game is on, like you're saying. So I wanted to ask you, however, something that one of the alliance partners said at Hindustan Times. Arvind Kejriwal came and said something which I thought was very, very, you know, when someone just says something which kind of like, so he said, when, you know, the interviewer moderator asked him, ki sare opposition ko kya ek saath aakar ke bhajpa se ladna chahiye? And he said, logon ko ye pasand nahi aata hai ki aap log kisi ko harane ke liye matlab ek saath ye kare ek saath mil jaye. Basically that you need a bigger idea. People are not going to vote for you because you've all come together to gang up on someone. They want to vote for someone who improves their lives, who gives them aspiration,
a dream, if you like.
Yeah.
See, I will not negate what Chief Minister of Delhi has said. There are two aspects in politics. One is the narrative and second is elections. Mm. So I think at the end of the day, political parties in 2024 have to win. So to win, you need seat sharing. Who are you going to contest against? The obvious answer is Bharatiya Janata Party. So we can't say we are not contesting to defeat the Bharatiya Janata Party. Of course, we are contesting to defeat the Bharatiya Janata Party. Now come to the narrative side. Yes, the narrative has to be positive.
Yeah.
Okay. So for instance, when Prime Minister Modi in 2014 campaign, he sold the Gujarat model.
Right.
Of course, today nobody knows what is that Gujarat model. It's shelved. Like, there's no answer to that. That is by way of example that what is our narrative. But I think there's a commonality in our narrative, which individual parties before the India partners came together have been fighting for against unemployment, against price rise, against greater national and international security, you know, international borders. So I think that narrative is there. And once a common minimum program comes, which they've already agreed there's going to be one, that positive narrative will come. Now, why does it sound like, oh, we are trying to defeat Modi? Mr. Modi is nothing but an individual. But he stands for a certain kind of politics. And let me tell you, in India, there is no gray area anymore. Either you're with the idea of Modi's politics or you're totally against it. No one is a fence sitter anymore. I think people are more or less decided.
But you're saying that narrative of what you stand for, that will come in sometime.
Absolutely. And it's already
there. Well, it could be caste, no?
Sorry?
It could be caste.
See, I'll tell you what. Caste is very much a part of Indian politics. You cannot deny that. Because when you throw up leaders, their caste matters. When you don't win an election because some caste has not voted for you for some reason. So caste politics, I think, is still very much entrenched in Indian politics. You can't deny that. But India has shown that there are issues on which the country can come together. A section of people can come together and said, what is our primary concern is saving the country from, let's say, one example would be communal politics. Mm-hmm. This country united against the British for freedom struggle. I don't think there were many differences. There may have been different platforms and different people in different voices, but they were united in saying, we want independence. So this country, despite different castes and communities and languages and culture, has the ability to come together in the greater interest of the nation.
I'll just give you the counter to that, which they say, especially of your state, Trinamool state, which is they say, ki, how is it possible the BJP, you know, Sushil Modi was on this show and he said, kya aap soch sakte hai ki Bengal mein abhi CPM aur Congress Trinamool ke khiraaf lad rahi thi, to wo kaise ek saath ladenge?
See, Sushil Modi is... I don't want to waste my time on him, but let me tell you something. Bharatiya Janata Party tied up with Mehbooba Ji in Kashmir. So it's pot calling the kettle black. Apne girebaan mein to jhaak ke dekhiye Modi Ji, matlab chote Modi Ji. You know, so okay. Let's not go down that road. In fact, I think, Sunetra, let me turn it around.
Right. Okay.
10 minutes back on your show, I told you that every bone of Mamata Banerjee was broken.
Yeah.
In her 25 years of struggle. Who broke it, I don't want to say. But today she's sitting next to them. That is the strength of True. India Partners.
True.
You understand? Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Today...
For example, as an observer and a journalist, I was very surprised that Congress came out in support of the, the bill, which was the Delhi bill, in support of Aam Aadmi Party, which, and they're so against each other. So obviously we are seeing...
You see, it is issue. Today, the bill basically attacks the very principle of federalism. That's what we were all fighting against.
I have to ask you this, because we have to wrap up, although it's always so much fun talking to you, Sushmita Dev, is what according to you then is the biggest issue? You're saying it's anti-communalism.
I'm saying it is unemployment, it is price rise, it is international border security. And to top it all, I think every single person realizes that BJP has damaged two things in this country. One is unity and the second thing is civil liberty. These two are going to be, you know, the most important factors in the minds, and that's what separates us from the BJP. Civil liberties and unity. And there's, of course, unemployment, price rise in China and all of that, which will also come into play in the 2024 election.
And, it always strikes me that things, even though, like, I've been a political journalist for 20 years, but I've seen that things have really broken down between the BJP and other parties. Before, they used to have of behind the scenes, they used to be friends with each other. Do you have any BJP friends?
You know, to be very honest, it's become so adversarial.
It has,
hasn't it? It has become so adversarial that I have to say that it's becoming increasingly difficult to socialize with people in the BJP. And I think... I'm sad about it. I think that's the reason Prime Minister Modi has not kept a central hall. I think the message is clear. No tea and coffee. No chai pe charcha. So I think the fact that the central hall is not there has taken away a very important institution in the parliament, which I think Derek wrote about in one of the papers. He's made it more difficult for us to meet and put our politics aside and talk. It's going to harm parliamentary democracy even further, I think.
I think that we should meet again to talk about that and how life is like in the new parliament as well. Thank you so much, Sushmita Dev.
Thank you, Sunetra. Lovely talking to you.
This episode of First Voice Last Word was produced by Deepthi Ahuja. The audio editor is Amrinder Singh. This episode was hosted and written by Sunetra Chaudhary, National Political Editor at Hindustan Times.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.